zase ten si svoje kolo, ale čo? No ale pozná, keď som odpovedal, že Big Bang back in my time. Now it's like, it's a chyb, you know? It's not a longer rush. Okay, so Rabbi Greenjaber asked me to share some words. He titled the shiur Sanctity and Santa. You know what this shiur's about? This shiur's about being normal. This shiur's about being normal, the importance of being normal. And I know who I'm talking to now. For sure, I'm talking to people who are Rabbi, or at least junior Rabbi. People who are really, really important role models in the lives of tens, maybe hundreds, without exaggeration, of younger people. And it's a huge achrayus. Let's start with that. I mean, again, I'm not saying a chiddush here, but it's an awesome schus, not intuitively, but achrayus that you have. Rabbi Lieber, and Rabbi Lieber, so just like that, he was my counselor at Gemisora a lot of years ago. But he's one of my rebbe. Legit one of my rebbe, because he was an example. That was like a firm role model. You know, someone I could look up to and say, like, whoa, you know, that's someone who I want to aspire to be like. It's not a small thing, and we forget sometimes how much these young teenagers, these young campers are looking up to us. The Chafetz Chaim one time said to his talmidim, Nassim Shtetner brings us in his parish of Pirkei Avos, the Horus Nassim. He says, Chafetz Chaim told his talmidim, he said, you know, Chaver, you better behave properly, you better act menschlich, you better carry yourself with dignity, otherwise people are going to say that talmidei chachamim don't have derech eretz. So they said to Chafetz Chaim, the younger talmidim said to Chafetz Chaim, thank you. I didn't even drink the last one.
It's all right.
Here we go. Tuvishan. You once had a very special Tuvishan. Pictures to prove it. So they said to the Chafetz Chaim, they said, Rebbe, like, we're not big Talmidei Chacham. You said, like, we have to behave properly, otherwise we're going to say that Talmidei Chacham don't have derech eretz. So Chafetz Chaim said, very sharp, Chafetz Chaim said, trust me, I assure you, in the eyes of the world, you're a big enough Talmid Chacham. And if you don't act perfect, people are going to say that big Talmidei Chachamim are chilish. I think that's true for any Jewish person kamat was a yarmulke on his head. People look at us and we're held to a higher standard. All the more so when you're here in a position of hashpa, and you know, these younger guys are looking up to you. I mean, I imagine they can still figure out the difference between like Rav Schechter and us, but like, I don't know, on a certain level, like, you know, you're like a big, huge Talmid Chacham. I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying, like, certainly in the eyes of a teenager in high school, you're also one of the Gedolei HaDor. That's a huge achrayus. It's a tremendous, tremendous achrayus to paint a picture of what healthy Avodas Hashem looks like for a young person who's looking up to you. I'd say one of the biggest words in my religious, you know, lexicon, certainly in our home, something we talk about a lot, is being balanced. And of course, being balanced means different things for different people. And a sefer at home, I don't even know who the author really is. It's called Sefer Deya Es Hashem. About a number of years ago, it's a Feldheim book. So in the sefer, it says that an Adam Gadol was once asked, what does Judaism say about extreme behavior? Extremism. What does Torah say about being extreme? Person responded, this Rav, he responded, Bavada, Shitzarach Lios, Kitzoni, a person needs to be extreme. You need to be extreme. He says, it's extreme in what way? Torah is extremely normal. Torah is extremely healthy. A person needs to be extreme, you need to be extremely balanced. You need to be extremely healthy, you need to be extremely normal. Torah is extreme. You should be extreme about what the Torah says. You have to know what the Torah actually says. Not God forbid to make our own religion. To be a person of nuance, it's hard. We're living in a world, we're living in a society, wherever you are, right? There's like a lack of nuance. And sometimes it's easier, and we all choose sometimes, to just enter into that world of black and white thinking because it is, in a certain sense, easier than gray. But it doesn't make it more emistic. To be a person who's able to be balanced, to be a person, kind of like the title of our shiur, who can balance sanctity of striving for levels of kedusha, of holiness, of being a real Ben Aliyah, but also being a sane person, being a normal person, a healthy role model, a healthy mashpia on these younger guys. Chatzker Rebbe said that the mission statement of a Jew would be captured by a pasuk in Parshat Mishpat. Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li. So we all hear the word Kodesh, that part jumps out of us. But it's Anshei Kodesh. The way the Chatzker Rebbe used to say is Anshei Kodesh Menshlach Helik. You need to be human, you need to be holy. Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li. Being a human is part of Hashem is. Pretending to be a malach is not gonna work. Anshei kodesh, be menschlich, be a person, and be kodesh, be heilig, be holy. Tiyuli, that's the balance that we're striving for. And there's like this ongoing debate throughout our lives and even after our life between the neshama and the guf. It's a gemara in Sanhedrin, tzadi aleph, but aleph and tzadi aleph and the base. There's a homach lokes. And like, which one's holding the other one back? You know this gemara? You know this gemara? The gemara says that a person dies. And the body and the soul are debating before Hashem, you know, whose fault? Any avera that ever happened, whose fault? So the body says, it's the neshama's fault. Why? Because when the neshama was in me, that's when I was doing good. Now the neshama left me. I'm lying here still, quiet. You know, the body doesn't get itself into trouble once the neshama leaves. So it must be that when I was active and alive and doing the avera, it must be that it was the neshama's fault. The neshama points to the body and says the opposite. The neshama says, what are you talking about? Body was holding me back. Now that the body's out of the way, look how much I'm soaring. Look how much I'm flying in the sky. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the body and soul. The Gemara says it's Antoninus' son. Antoninus says that the body and the soul, they can each make an excuse for each other to exempt themselves from the midas adin. And then Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says back to Antoninus, no, gives a mushroom for another time. And then he says, you know, Hashem puts the neshama and the body together and says, Chaver, you're stuck with each other. You're gonna have to learn to live with each other. You're gonna have to learn to answer on the Yom Adin for each other. In other words, the answer kodesh is a mitzvah, it's reality, it's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be menschlich, and we're supposed to be heilig. We have to be human, we have to be holy, and there's no two ways about it. Haftorah for Parshas Yisro, the Navi Yeshaya in Erechbach, describes a malach. Amish, real malach. What does a malach look like? It describes a malach, it has six wings. No, what does it do with its six wings? The pasuk describes, well, two of the wings are for flying. Why do you have six wings? You're only going to fly with two wings. Why do you have six wings? So I heard about this from Rashi Shabbat Shlita, my good chaver. Rashi said, I don't know if it was Zonavar, I heard from someone. Certainly, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You can see very much his own Holy Father. And Rashi said, because a malach has to know that even if I have six wings, and I can soar to the highest of places, maybe I should only use two wings. Maybe I should stay a little bit more grounded, even if I have six wings. No, you should be a malachim. A Rebbe's like a malach. You know, the Gemara says that a Rebbe should be like a malach Hashem Tzavach. It's okay, it's a scary Gemara. It's hard to know what that means to live up to that. But you're all teachers. You're all teaching Torah this summer. It means you're all malachim. And I'm sure there's a part of you, in your own personal development, that you want to just soar higher and higher and higher. But how do I do it in a way that's realistic? How do I know that I can have six wings? Sometimes it's okay to only display two of my wings. Not to show all four of my wings, to be a little bit more grounded, to be a little bit more balanced. That's who we are as a people. We're balanced people. Think about who we're called to. We're not B'nai Avraham, we're not B'nai Yitzchak, we're B'nai Yisrael, we're B'nai Avraham. Let's talk about that for a second. Avraham Avinu, who already talked about the Avos, but Avraham Avinu, his Mida was Chesed. Yitzhak, his Mida was Gvura. Yaakov, Tiferes. Yaakov is the balance of the two. But think about it. Avraham was chesed to the extreme. But you know what happens when you're extreme in a particular area? We have Lachas Hashem saying bad on Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu probably did it right, but there's a danger of the people around you not chapa. If you do chesed to the extreme, so you know what happens? Avraham Avinu has a yishmal. What happens when chesed goes bad? I don't know. What the Torah? How else does the Torah use the word chesed? The Chumash Vayikra, Arayos, right? Immorality, sexually immoral behavior. That's the world of Yishmael. So Avram had a son named Yishmael. Didn't chap. What does it mean? Chesed to the extreme. Chesed to the extreme becomes a perversion of chesed. It's a love that's misplaced. That's called Arayos. What about Yitzchak? Yitzchak is the meaning of Gvura. Yitzchak never leaves Eretz Yisrael. Gvura means very, you know, withdrawn, right? Turned inwards. Yitzchak never goes outside Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak's tied down by the Akedah. Yitzchak's very, barely talks in the Torah. It's very stark. Baldika. I was at the Kotel today. All of a sudden, there's a lot of action, a lot of Hasidim running. I was like, all right, there's a big rebbe coming. All of a sudden, a big van pulls up, clear everyone out of the way. Of course, this one Israeli woman's like, Mazeh, Mazeh. Like, Rabbi Kadosh, Rabbi Kadosh, Rabbi Kadosh. She's like, I'm not going anywhere, I'm standing here. Okay, fine. Anyways, all of a sudden, the Ger Rebbe pops out of the, hey, look at the Ger Rebbe. He goes to the Kotel, the Kikunat. They make a path. I grab my son, my nephew I was with. I was like, we're going. We like fell into line like a couple feet behind the Ger Rebbe. Luckily, the Chassidim didn't push us out. And we followed him down to the Kotel. I kid you not, he stood at the Kotel for literally 5 seconds. He walked up to the Kotel, put his hands on the wall, literally 5 seconds, boom, right back to the car. I was like, wow. So I was talking to my brother Donald about it afterwards. He's like, no, you understand. Like, he was at the Kotel all day, but like, he only needed to do it l'maisa, you know, if I could, like, he's probably up all night preparing for his achanas to come to the Kotel. Then he comes for like 3 seconds, like, shalom like, from shalom, and like, back into the, you know, back into the police escort, like, you know, had it. So the carry out, but like, I don't know, it's a Yitzchak, it's just Gemurah, like, very serious demeanor, very, very, wow. Real Mamashvili, intense, Yitzchak Avinu, you know? Yitzchak Avinu doesn't have to say a lot in the Torah to make a, you know, an impact. It says very little. But what happens when Gvura is not properly understood? Where does Gvura go bad by Yitzchak? Even Esav. Gvura in the wrong way is not inner strength, but it's a, Esav's a murderer, he's a rapist, he's a warrior, he's a thief. Right? He turns all of that Gvura outward. Finally, comes along Yaakov Avinu, and he takes a little bit of the world of Chesed of Avram, he takes a little bit of the Gvura of Yitzchak, and he makes something called Tiferes, splendor, a beautiful, harmonious mix of the Tiferes. You're making lemonade. Too much lemons is too sour. Too much sugar is too sweet. You got to get the right mix. Yaakov Avinu L'Havdil is the right mix. And that's why, even though the Shvatim are not perfect, the Rashi tells us, Mitaso Shlema, all 12 of his children are tzaddikim, they're all holy, they're balanced. And we're not called B'nai Avraham, we're not called B'nai Yitzchak, we're called B'nai Yisrael. We are that balance. We have to walk in the ways of Yisrael, who's that wholesome blend of all the different kochos, the Avraham and the Yitzchak coming together in the right way. I heard once from Rabbi David Ehrenschlita. He said, what does it mean to be Dati? There's a lot of good wordplay. What does it mean to be Dati? Be from. What's Dati? He said that Dati stands for Das, Tiferes, Yisod. Those who learn Chassidus, you know that in the Sviros, right, the middle column, Das, Tiferes, Yisod, it's all the middle, it's the middle beam. Not straying too much to the right, not straying too much to the left. Living a balanced life, that's what it means to be done. How many Lashonos do you find in the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Deos about being a balanced person? And the Rambam was teaching us what it means to be a person, be a human being, to be an ethical person. Rambam has so many lashonos, just a couple lashonos, just to hear the words of the Holy Rambam. Shtei kitzavos harachoko zo mizo. Shebechol deya v'deya. There's always extremes in every day, in every area of life. Ein an derech tova. But that's not the way to be. Ve'ein roi lo la'adam lo lechesven. Don't be a person who's always going to the extreme. Who always wants to prove how firm he is by doing something that's, you know, super intense. That's not the derech. Find the middle path, says the Rambam. Haderech ha'yeshar he midah beinonis. Walk the middle road. V'derech zohi derech ha'chachamim, says the Rambam. The way of a smart person is to walk that middle path. Kol adam shedeosav deos beinonios. A person is a balanced, stable, menshel chelik person. Memutzos nikra chacham. That's what a chacham is. That's a smart person. That's a talmud chacham. Then the Rambam goes even a step further. Not only is it the Derech Chacham, the Rambam concludes the first parak of the Hilchos Deos. Ulefisha Shemos Ha'ilu Nikra Behen Hayotzo. Everything that we're describing here, to be able to do things just right in the right measure, that's the Derech of the Creator Himself. Vehem Derech Ha'beinot, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is a reasonable God, Derechel Derech Enoam, like I started with. Shanu Chayevet L'Lechis, but that's the right path. Nikra is Derech Zo, Derech Hashem. This is not just the derech of sensible people, the derech of the chachamim. This is the derech to be a holy person who's a normal person. I discussed this week, yeah, please.
What sense does it really mean by be a normal person?
I don't know.
Saying it a lot.
I am saying it a lot.
And at the end of the day,
extremist, I don't know.
and everyone in their own way has their own way they approach to their family.
Right.
So I just want to understand what the Rebbe means, like the mindset. Like, how do I go through my life? That?
I don't know. I guess you have to figure it out. It's a famous American comedian that used to say, you know, when you're driving on the highway, anyone who's driving slower than me is an idiot, anyone who's driving faster than me is like a psychopath. You know, like, you're always driving the perfect speed. Right, so religiously also, like, I'm center, I'm normal, I'm balanced, and everyone to the right is extreme, and everyone to the left is not frozen, you know? So that's hard, you have to figure out what that means. I don't know, it takes maybe a lot of personal introspection and figuring out what that means. I mean, and of course it means different, not maybe, of course it means different things.
I'm just curious what Ruby thinks is extreme. What gets to the point of extreme?
I'm not falling for this. I can make the mire in a few minutes. No, I don't know. It's the time I think you have to talk about what I want. No, I understand, of course. Everyone thinks that they've got the recipe. I don't know. But it's comforting to know at least it's a goal, right? And even if I don't know what that is exactly. And I think a little bit, you know, again, part of the learning here is that there's a certain intuition, a certain common sense. The Kosh Baruch programmed this way. I remember once on the Sefer Aleihu Lo Yibol, which is like, you know, biographical pieces from Shlomo Zalman Gorbach. Someone went to ask Shlomo Zalman, it was a terrible thing. A young girl fell out of a window. She only had minor injuries. The family was obviously very shaken. She could have been killed. So they came to Shlomo Zalman and they said, Rebbe, what should we do? Like, what would be a, you know, why did this happen to her? What would be a good tikkun for this situation? You know, what did he say? Put bars on your window. For a child falling out the window. Right? Make your home safe so that no one falls out the window better. You know? No safe like a shot. I once had to go to it's a long story, but I'll say it quickly. I once went to Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's at South Gate Bracha. It was a story that I had heard from Yaakov Haver, who was a Talmud of Scheinberg, that one time he had a scorpion in his house and he asked his Rebbe of Scheinberg what to do, and Rebbe Scheinberg took out Parak Shira and he looked at Parak Shira, what's the name of the scorpion? Paseach Sedecha, what's the name of the Chotai? He said, Rebbe Scheinberg said that maybe there was someone who used to give tzedakah to, you don't get tzedakah anymore. Yeah, we moved to a new house and we didn't tell this poor guy, he used to come all the time where, you know, where we live, so go find that guy and tell him where you live, tell him to come anytime he wants for a meal. The Kashaba, they invited this guy to their home and they said, anytime you need anything, come by, and the scorpion disappeared. So we were living in the apartment in Tinek at the time. And we had a little bit of a mouse situation. I was plaguing my wife and myself. And Rav Scheinberg was in Tinek. Besides being a tremendous guzzle to get a bracha, you know. I figured, let me go ask him how to deal with my mouse problems. You know, I do the Rabbi Haber story with the scorpion. I'll ask him for like a segula to get rid of my mouse. So I'm sitting with Rav Scheinberg. So. Son-in-law was like, you know, playing the Torgamon. So like, you would say what you wanted to say, and then like the son-in-law would like, you know, scream it again like into his ear. So he said, I didn't know the story about Haber and the scorpion, we have a mouse, maybe you could ask them Shiva, like. So he's turns to his he's like, this young fellow wants to know he has a mouse, in Rosh Hashiva is a mouse in his house. And I was like, oh, that's a stupid question. It wasn't. So Scheinberg looks at him with a big smile, he's like, no, get a cat. You get a cat. I was like, no, but like, give me like a, like, pull out a, you know, open a Zohar or something. Like, he's like, cool. I was like, get a cat. Like, no, get a, which I interpreted, like, go get a mousetrap, you know, like, what do you want from me? You know, use a little common sense. So I don't know what normal is, but there's a common sense, we'll talk a little bit more at the end. There's a common sense that you don't have also. Okay? So Shlomo Orbach wasn't like looking, he wasn't going to respond like, oh my gosh, we went through such a tsar as a family, what's a segula? Kid fell out a window, put bars on the window. That's the tikkun. That's the best thing you could do. Derecha d'arche no'am, that's what Kosh Baruch wants you to do. Make your home into a safe environment. So I say, we were earlier this week, we were in Shiloh, it was in like Mishkan and Shiloh for the first time. It's called, well, went to Shiloh, so I went to Shiloh. I don't know, it was very misspelled for me. It was amazing, my first time there. 41 years old, it was my first time there. I'd be in the place where Chana davened, you know? Chana with her holy chutzpah, petitioning Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me a child, how could you not? What did Chana daven for? What type of kid did Chana want to have? The Pasuk says, Chana davened that she should be blessed with Zera Anosha. Shteit in the Gemara and Brachas Avad Aleph and Beis. Nu, ma zera ad Lashem. Kind of kid that she wants. She waited long enough. She should probably get like a tzadik, no? Amar Rav Gavra Begubri. Zera ad Lashem. Distinguished by. That's what she wanted. She said, I want a tzadik. I want my son to be a Talmud Chacham. Shvuol Amar Zera Shemoyshnech Shnei ad Lashem. I want my child to be someone who's going to anoint kings. Kacha v'shalom adabit. Anointed shalom adabit. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Zeresh Ashakum Kishnei Anoshim. I want a child that's going to be compared to two great giants, like two other people, like Moshe and Aaron. Right? Moshe and Aaron, the Ban Kohen. That was Shmuel, the Kareshimah. Okay. Rav says like this, Shmuel says like that. Rabbi Yochanan, Amish. Tzadike Amis. V'Rabbanan Amri, concludes the Gemara. But what do most rabbis say? I mean, these are the outlier positions of what Chana meant. She said Zer Anoshim. But you know what the main voice of the Beis Medrash was, or needs to be, maybe? I'm not saying the Chuspidik or incorrectly, but you know what the Rabbanan Amri, you know what the main voice of the majority of the rabbis said? Zera Shemuvla Bein Anashim. I want a kid who fits in. A child is Muvla Bein Anashim. Ashi references a statement, oh, not too tall, not too short. I don't want my kid to stick out. Inconspicuous. I want a child who's going to be normal. Who's going to be? Now the truth is, we know that Shmuel, when he's a little kid, is already poskening shilas, you know, like big shilas. We know that Shmuel is compared to Moshe and Aaron. We know that Shmuel has tremendous nebuah. Shmuel's tzad kisod olam. So was her bracha fulfilled? Was he zera nashim? She got all these things. What was she asking for? Chana, of course, Chana wanted a son who would become a Navi. If Chana wanted a son who would pass in Shalom, so Chana, like I mean, good, you know, inspired Jewish mother. She wanted a tzaddik, she wanted a Talmud Chacham, she wanted the kid to be all those things. But all of that is not a contradiction to what? To being a person who's a normal person. A person who's Zera Shemuv Lo Bein Anashim. There's something regular about it. That somehow he's able to fit in. Socially, my child should be able to fit in. That the religious presentation that I'm presenting, and again, I'm speaking to you guys as presenters of Torah, right, throughout this summer, should be something that a kid looks at and says, that's realistic, that's attainable. That's holy, it's inspiring, it's down to earth in a certain sense. Bitzal is the architect of the Mishnah. He's building the bayis for Hashem. He's building the structure for Hashem. And he has chachma, he has a godly spirit, he has chachma, he has tabuna, he has das. The Rivash defines das as sort of like general broad knowledge. You think das means dvekus? Rivash says that das means understanding basic conceptual ideas. Like the sum of a whole is greater than its parts. That's das. So I'll ask you, Bezalel is doing wondrous things. The construction of the Mishkan is filled with nisim and flaws. He understands all the deepest secrets. Jewish mysticism woven into the fabric of the mission. And yet the Rivash says that he was blessed with das. How does that fit in? I saw once a bar from Yochanan Zweig. He said because you could be a person who knows the deepest secrets of creation, who was building the Mishkan out of esoteric and mystical, you know, who knows what. And Gemara says in Brachos that he knew how to be tzarif for osios. He's doing all sorts of, you know, wild stuff. And yet, he's still a person of das. You're still a big picture person. You have some people, they're so fraught that they can't be normal anymore. They're so deep that they can't have a normal conversation anymore. It's like, oh, it's almost a contradiction. They lose that common sense. They're not able to see the big picture. That's what Shaul Zalmorov was saying. You're looking for some type of mystical tikkun. Put bars on your window. And that same sefer, it says that Shaul Zalman, one time someone also, they had a hot, you know, coffee on hand, they spilled it on the kid. And they asked him, what should we do? He said, don't drink a hot beverage when you're holding a baby. Like, what do you want me to tell you? Common sense. The gun on the door, Shul Zalman Orbach, how many tens of thousands, hundreds of people out of the street? Like, how many, the biggest Leviathan Eretz you saw in the last, you know? But like, the answer is so simple. Be a person whose religious growth is not a contradiction. Being a mensch. Moshe Weinberger Shlita always tells the story when he took his son Oshi for a bracha by the Debrecen Rav before his bar mitzvah. I'm sure some of you know the story from Mr. Weinberger. And he said he took the Deborah Tzini Rav and he asked him for a bracha, be tzadik, you know? Holy. So Deborah Tzini Rav says, like, give you a bracha, give your son a bracha. He should be a normal mensch, a normal person. Rami's like, give me the good bracha, you know? Give your Shemayim, Tamachacha, like, give him something good, you know? He always says, like, Deborah Tzini Rav with his booming, you know, deep Hungarian voice, he says to Rami, Kuli hai v'ulai. How about I probably heard this story 100 times for a while. And every time he says it, you can see he believes it more. Because life's crazy, the world's crazy. If you can make it through as like a half normal full person, your child, you're able to raise a child, if you can inspire a kid this summer to just have his head screwed on straight in terms of basic hashkafas hatorah, whatever that means, again, I don't even know what that means, but basic things, then we've accomplished a lot. Anshei Kodesh. It was a nice thing that being from means pulling away. No less than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had to learn that lesson in a very painful way. You remember the Gemara Shabbos Lamed Gimel? 12 years in the cave, he came out and was so verfrumpt. Believe me, I'm a Rabbi Shimon guy, so I'm not Chas Shalom saying bad on Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon came out of the cave and Rabbi Shimon said, I'm not happy with you, Rabbi Shimon. He's burning up the world with his eyes. I don't need you to be so friendly. You're destroying my world. Go back to the cave and learn how to be a person. And the Hei Ligatana Rashmi goes back to the cave for a 13th year, and he comes out, and his son, you know, the younger generation, they're always a little, they're fired up. Right? So his son's still burning things up, but Rabbi Shimon's healing with his eyes. In other words, his perspective changed. Kedoshim Tiyu. Rosh Baruch says, the hallmark of the Jewish people is to live a life of Kedusha. But you know what Rashi says? Kedoshim Tiyu was said what? Bahakel, was said with the Tzibur. The Sefer Yechahin Pe'er, the Bendina Rav, is the son of all the Sfas Emes. So he says, why did Hashem make sure that Kedoshim to you, everyone was there? Because that's what Kedush is. Yes, Kedush is also precious. Yes, there's a time and a place to pull away. You know, even Big Tzadnikim have to pull away from the world sometimes because that's their abode. The Big Tzadnikim will closet themselves away from the world, but there's an abode in there. Right? But that's not for most people. Noach was a big tzaddik. It's possible it's a son. Noach was a big tzaddik. Okay, shnei the pasuk, shnei the son. Yeah? Es halokim is halach noach. No? Is that a praise or is that a deny? Yesh dash moshah. That's a fact. Ksav Sofer writes in his parashah Chumash, es halokim is halach noach. Ksav Sofer writing, you know, in a time of Haskalah and the Reform, and he's fighting to keep Yiddishkeit alive. As Elokim is Alech Noach. Noach closeted himself away from the world. He was alone with Hashem, and that was good. That was very good. That was smart. That's how you make it. That's how you do it. But Baal Shem Tov told Yaakov Yosef, what's the Baal Shem Tov? That's the Gnai of Noach. That's a critique of Noach. Noach is not so much Sliach of being the Kair people because a little bit too much as Elokim is Alech Noach. He was too focused on his relationship with Hashem. Pejorative, it's a negative. He was too focused on his relationship with Hashem to be able to inspire the generation. So, it's a big task. And again, especially at this stage of your life, you're still in a stage where it is appropriate to say, now's the time for me to work on myself. You're young B'nai Torah. But at the same time, you've chosen this summer to be in an environment where you're giving to others. And it's really, really important. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had conversations with people whose life has been changed for the better by someone your age who was, you know, involved in teaching them, inspiring them. And tragically, how many times have I had the conversation the opposite direction? People who can't open a siddur or can't open a chumash because they had someone in their life, a Rebbe, and it could be a young Rebbe like yourselves, who was too intense and it turned them off and they felt like it wasn't attainable, it wasn't realistic. But I want to conclude just the last couple of minutes that we have together. More than all the Vartlach, all the Rambams, and all the Makoros. The proof, to me, the proof is in the Tzaddik. The proof is in, and again, I'm sure many of us have similar role models. Look at our Rebbeim. Look at our Rebbeim, look who they are. Look how they're able to strike that balance between mention and Torah. Look at all the scribes. You're spending the summer with Shechter. To anyone who's like more beyond and more normal at the same time. first thing said. We're talking about people who are like, on the one hand, like, you're shaking to go over there. On the other hand, like, you talk to tzaddikim, really, really, really holy big people, and yet somehow they've kept their feet on the ground. They're approachable. They're sensible. They say it makes sense. They say it's down to earth. They carry themselves with a certain humility that makes them inviting to people who are around them. Like a kid who's, a high school kid could walk over to a shechter and, like, not even realize what he's asking, but like, the shechter is so patient and so kind and so understanding. That's what tzaddikim are. That's what big talmidei chacham are. I want to tell a couple of stories. Again, I could tell dozens of stories about this, but stories that have inspired me just to think about this idea. Again, big tzaddikim who had a certain sensitivity that we should never feel like that's beneath me. Incredible stories. Mordechai Grunwald, he's the executive director of Bir Yeshiva. So it's not one of the Blessed City. So he once gave a hesped in Tinek, the Yeshiva Gedol in Tinek. He told an incredible story. He said that about 15 years before Blessed City passed away, there was a Chasham at Talmud Chacham. He had a family, young children, who passed away. And the kids were very broken. Kids were mamash very broken. This Talmud Chacham had been a Talmud of Blessed City. And Rav Nachman Tzvi said, when he saw how emotionally distraught these kids were, so Rav Nachman Tzvi said, okay, so as if he got nothing else to do, didn't have any other responsibilities in the world. He decided, I want to become like a father figure for these kids, for these young boys. And he did. And he used to write them letters, and he would ask them to send pictures. He used to carry around their pictures in his pocket. He said, I'm going to be like a father to him. And as they got older, and as he got older, and Blessed Tzvi, of course, suffered from Parkinson's, and life was very difficult for him. But he always kept up the kesher. And when they came to Eretz Yisrael, their yeshiva, they were regulars at his Shabbos table. He said, Mama, should became like a fatherly figure. So that's what Grunwald's telling this story in Tinek. After Blessed Tzvi passed away, just to catch a glimpse of the sensitivity and the care and the concern and just down-to-earth concern of an Adam Gadol who very easily could have said, I have too many bigger things to worry about than these little kids. Someone comes over to him after the aspirin and says, I want to add one more part to the story. There's a part of the story that you didn't highlight. He said, you spoke about the four boys. There was a girl also. There was a girl in that family. There was a young girl. She was about 8 years old when the father passed away. A little bit, she was always jealous because she knew, like, I'm not going to have the same kashrut that Rav Nachman Tzvi. She knew her brothers, it's a different relationship. And they were going to go to yeshiva, and they would be able to go to the mirror, and they'd be regulated by Rav Nachman Tzvi's home. And she just knew it wasn't going to be the same. But she said, the one time she got a letter, her mother gave her a letter. What's this letter? From Rav Nachman Tzvi? Sure, it's not from her brother? No, it's real. She opens up the letter. And it's a big chaz, unbelievable. Rosh Hashiva, like the biggest yeshiva in the whole world. It's a big picture of a heart. He drew a heart. A big picture on the page. It's a big picture of a heart. A hand-drawn picture of a heart. And it's not even less than secret. This little girl. And this guy goes over after this Grunwald is giving this hesped, and he says, and that girl, I know the story, but that girl's a wife. And it carried her. That letter, that one little picture that someone was so big was thinking about her. And he could have said it in words, or he could have had a gabbai write it up for him, he could have just signed it. But a hand-drawn picture of a heart to send it to a little 8-year-old girl, that's the sensitivity of tzaddikim. I heard from Shmuel Brazil. He said that Moshe Weinberger once went to visit the Amshon Rebbe. Talk about Tzad, there was this Mamishnah in this circle. Holy Mamishnah, I forgot. So, Rav Weinberger was waiting. Gabbai brought him into the waiting room. He told me, you can take off your coat, you can hang it up, there's a closet, hang up your coat. He goes into the closet, Rav Weinberger, Moshe Weinberger, you know who that is. He goes into the closet to hang up his coat, and he sees, I'm showing Rebbe's closet, he sees lying on the floor, bottom of the closet, is a Monopoly game. Monopoly. Nahum Shlomo Rebbe's closet. So I was like, hold on, this is like, this doesn't, this one doesn't add up, you know? He says to the guy, he's like, whose game is it? It's the Nahum Shlomo Rebbe? Like that Nahum Shlomo Rebbe? Yeah, that Nahum Shlomo Rebbe. It's his monopoly game. So he says, well, why does the Rebbe have monopoly in his closet? Because the Rebbe sometimes, when children, grandchildren, you know, over the years, would come to spend time with him, he would play monopoly with him. That's beyond. Avshar Rebbe is not on planet Earth. He doesn't operate by anything that we operate by. And yet he still has the time to bring it down, to sit there. I mean, obviously I'm sure all that, you know, everything's buzzing. Rashi, Sodos, it's making his way around the floor. Zilas, Ria, Yitzira, you know? I'm sure there's a lot going on that we don't understand there also. Can you imagine? I'm sure Rebbe sitting there, it's like an unfathomable plan. But tzaddikim is not a contradiction to be real, to meet someone where they are. A young buck once came to Rav Palm, he was all distraught. Rav Palm spoke to him for a really long time. And afterwards he left, so someone asked Rav Palm, what was that about? He said, this young fellow came to you, he's upset that he's not like the Chavetz Chaim. He said, this young man is feeling frustrated that he's not on the madrig of the Chavetz Chaim. And Rav Palm says, so I spoke to him for a long time until he became a normal boy. Put him back into a person. Rav Palm, I'll tell you about Rav Palm and Rebbetzin Palm. Rav Palm had a Talmud in Torah Vadas, whose daughter got engaged. So this goes back to the Talmud in the 1960s, it goes back to the 1990s. This Talmud, Rav Palm brought his daughter and the new chassan to get a bracha from Rav and Rebbetzin Palm. They show up at the house to get a bracha. Get a mazel tov on the wedding. The chassan introduced the chassan and kala. Happens to be they showed up on the night of Halloween. All the houses, all the Jewish homes in the neighborhood, lights off, doors locked, you know. The Palm and Rebbetzin Palm are making bags of popcorn. True story. I'm making bags of popcorn. They give out to non-Jewish kids with a smile. Right? On the night of their... Now, I know you're thinking like lots of shaylas and halacha, like mechaber and gaish, a pagan holiday. But for a Palm, like, there's a kid, there's a child in the world who's just trying to have a good time. So I'm gonna run away from that. So you're sitting there with a popcorn, you're making bags of popcorn. They give out on Halloween. Rapam with the big fat artful biography, that Rapam. Right? That sense of sensitivity to just regular life. Sensitivity to a Ganesha kid who's called trick-or-treating. Right? When everyone else is hiding indoors, that has nothing to do with it, because God forbid it's gonna the same Rapam who sat with that boy to tell him for hours, you know, be normal, you're not the Chavetz Chaim. Like, what are you talking about? You're not the Chavetz Chaim. I joke sometimes with my brother, I always say, I have one thing in common with Chaim. I know a couple of things. Chaim's, I like, okay? I know someone of Chaim's. I should know more. I said, I have one thing in common with Chaim Brisker. Chaim Brisker used to get down on the ground. You know this? Chaim Brisker used to get down on the ground and give pee back rides, like horse rides. Do you know that it's brought that Chaim Brisker used to box with the Talmidim? Can you imagine? Putting on boxing gloves and sparring over with Chaim Brisker? He loved it. So I should smoke that. He used to get down on the ground, he'd like, giddy up, you know? A little kid would climb on his back and pull at his beard, and he was, as Soloveitchik said, Reb Chaim was very democratic in that way. So when I give, like, my, you know, my son, or, like, my nephew, like, a piggyback ride, it's like a joke I have with my brother, like, oh, look, I'm like, I'm Reb Chaim Brisker, you know? That's my Reb Chaim Brisker moment in this room. So Reb Tzaddikim, it's not beneath them to be regular, in the most regular of regular ways. So I'll just do the sign, I see tomorrow in 2 seconds. One of the 48 Kinyanim Torah is Makiris Makomo. Right? And it means a lot of different things. But on a simple level, Makiris Makomo means be age appropriate. You're at an age of life, you should be a fiery Yad Hashem. But also, you're a young person who's still not in the clouds yet. But sometimes we like to present ourselves as being holier than thou as a way of trying to inspire them. But it's so important to be that healthy balance. Yes, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim. So we're all Tzadikim. On the other hand, if you learned a little bit of Tanya, we're not even a Beinu. So I'll tell you something, I'll end with this. I heard once from Matul Zilber, Hashem Avshagra. He said once in a Chabura, Matul said, Stichina Rebbe said, Hirvan Avshagra Rebbe, that one time, there's only one, I'm not going to say it as well. Right? Matul said it was so good. It's hard to say it over. They said there's one place in the Tanya, in Parak Chav Ches, there's one place in the Tanya, where the Tanya says, don't be, V'gam Al Yi Shota. Don't be one place in the Tanya it says, don't be a fool. So the Avshar Rebbe once said, the Tanya was being nice. Because the Tanya really said, you want to understand what Avshar Rebbe said once, you want to understand what a chassid is? You know what chassidus is? You know, piety, you're striving for lofty levels of Avodas Hashem. Really, every sentence of the Tanya should really end, and don't be a shulchan. And don't be a fool. Be normal. Be regular. Be extreme in a healthy and holy way. When Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the Torah on Har Sinai, he was forgetting it over and over again. You know why? The Talmud Yerushalmi says, to be able to give chizuk to what? To the tipshit, the Yerushalmi says. To the foolish people like ourselves, who don't remember it the first time. You're sitting and learning with a guy, and he's not into it the first time. It's not connecting. Moshe Rabbeinu had the humility to pretend to forget things so that he can be mechazik us. To bring it down to our level. So I give us a brach. You know, look to your Rebbeim, look to the tzaddikim we look up to. I don't know, the big people who I look up to are on the one hand, you know, the upper half, like it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, is an Isha Lokim, and yet the lower half, he's still feet on the ground. Six wings, but only two used to fall. Moshe Baruch Hu should help us to strike a healthy balance. You know, to walk that derech of Chachamim, like the Rambam described, the derech Hashem, like the Rambam called. And Amir Tzashem in that way, to be a tremendous source of Hashma, Kiddush Hashem. Thank you.